It's the confluence where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. Many students are headed back to school this week, both younger grades and onto 2 and 4 year colleges and universities. Higher education can come at a steep cost, but what if it didn't? What would it take to make college in Pennsylvania free? We're going to answer those questions, or at least bat them around a little bit, with our guest this morning. Bob Strauss is with me in studio. He's a professor of economics and public policy at Carnegie Mellon University. Hello, Bob.
Good morning.
Deb Eardley joins us by phone from Greensburg. She's covered education for the Tribune Review for many years. Welcome back to the show, Deb.
Thank you.
And Kenneth Mash is in Harrisburg as president of the Association of Pennsylvania State College and University Faculties. He represents faculty and coaches at Pennsylvania's 14 state-owned universities, where officials have been struggling with rising costs and declining enrollment. Thanks for joining us, Ken.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks. It's great to be here.
Well, Ken, let's start with you on this. All right. Just how expensive is college in Pennsylvania these days?
Well, you know, college is, you know, I'm most familiar with the state system of higher education. And what we've seen is that since 2000, we've had tuition and fees go up by 50% when you adjust for inflation. Housing costs have gone up 76%. Pennsylvania leads the nation as far as college debt goes. For Pennsylvania, for the Pennsylvania state system, tuition's about $15,000 a year, but then you have tuition. Then you, in addition to tuition, you also have fees and housing costs.
Okay. Now, Deb, you reported on a proposal, or actually a pair of proposals, that were issued this summer by State Senator Vince Hughes and State Representative James Robach. They're both Philadelphia Democrats, but the legislation doesn't cover all schools. Deb, who would this exactly impact? Who would it affect?
It looks like it would affect lower-income and middle-income students and those who wanted to go to the community colleges, the 14 Pashi schools, or Penn State and Temple.
And, of course, the Pashi schools, the state system of higher education, the state-owned universities. So I understand, though, that it's 4 years of tuition and fees at a state-owned or state-related university, annual income of $110,000 or less. Bob, I want to get your take on this, just your general reaction to such a proposal.
Well, I think it's got positives and negatives. I think trying to make sure the disadvantaged young people coming out of high school can pursue post-secondary education so that they can have a steady growth in their lifetime income and do better than their families, as we all hope our kids will do, is a good idea. The problem, of course, is how is it going to get financed? And if everybody goes to college, what's going to happen to the value of the degree? I have some questions about whether restricting the tuition benefits to just publicly supported institutions is the best way to do this. There's plenty of private colleges and universities in Pennsylvania. Many of the smaller ones are looking for students as well, and you're asking taxpayers, everybody, to kick in. That's the first problem. The second problem is we've got budget deficits from last year, this year, and into the future that we've sold a lot of debt for. And so I just wonder if we've got enough money around and the votes are there to do something that would be effective.
All right. So until this year, higher ed spending sort of flatlined after a drop in 2011. Is there an appetite for an increase of a projected, I believe you reported, Deb, at least $800 million per year, maybe $1 billion per year? Is there an appetite in Harrisburg for that?
Not from what I've heard. There are some folks who will support it, but put it on right now, and I don't think it's going anywhere.
Ken, in a story that Deb wrote earlier this summer, you didn't sound all that hopeful. I think you said something like, quote, "I'm not Pollyannish. I don't think this is going to happen tomorrow. But if we don't start the conversation, nothing will change." Do you still feel that way?
Well, I certainly do, and I wanted to address, you know, a couple of things that were said already. First, as far as why only the public universities, well, it is taxpayer dollars, and traditionally in Pennsylvania and in other states, There's been direct funding for public universities, and private universities do already get money indirectly through FIA, a program that exists. And as far as the costs of it go, we can't just be simplistic about it. We have to understand that when it comes to the expense of going to college, what we're doing is saddling our younger people with debt when they come out of college, which means that instead of contributing money into the economy, instead they're just handing their money over to the banks, and that's robbing the economy of money too. So, I mean, we need to have a broader perspective of it. But to get to your immediate question, you know, no, we're not Pollyannish, but what we do understand is agenda setting. Unless somebody starts talking about it, unless students start demanding it, it'll never happen. So there has to be a starting point to initiate the conversation. You know, we've seen a declining state support for the public universities in Pennsylvania, even with the increases that have taken place over the last few years. Our universities, the Pennsylvania State System of Higher Education, is actually receiving less money than it did in 2000, and that's not even adjusting for inflation.
Right. I'd like to make a follow-up comment. There's another cost to going to college or to vocational school or technical education or community college, and it's the time that the young people spend 2 or 4 years foregoing working at some wage rate. And so I think it's really important, especially for first-generation kids, kids whose parents didn't do anything post-high school, to be very careful about what they're investing their time in and what the state is investing in. And what's really important to focus on is what are the programs that are going to be made available to young people that are going to be attractive and meet the needs of the labor market and provide career paths. I mean, I know if I need a plumber, which is not a four-year kind of a training, that they charge $80 to $100 an hour, and folks who get into welding do extremely well, given the Marcellus shale activity in the state. So I think one of the things that the public universities, the 14-university state system, needs to do in face of declining enrollment is look at what they're offering in the way of programs and certifications and trainings and try to meet market needs better.
And Ken, state-owned have been adjusting their programs, have they not?
Well, they certainly have, but unfortunately, there's also been a declining number of programs at our universities. I think that there's a point to be made that as we have careers that are more technical, that you know the universities need to be looking at how to integrate those programs into a college degree. But I think we get dangerously close to saying that we want some social engineering and to push people who don't have the opportunities into careers that they may not want just simply because there's some decision made by economists or politicians in the Commonwealth about what they should do with their lives. We tend to believe that anybody who meets the grade at a university, that is, they meet the admission standards, that they should have the opportunity to go to a university and get an education. There's constantly this talk about, you know, we have to get to students and show them alternative careers and the rest. But what we consistently see is that parents want their kids to get college degrees because they intuitively know that a college degree brings value for the rest of their lives. And in addition, can improve their lives in other ways that are not just purely based on income.
Okay, I want to get into more of the opportunity.
Can I jump in here?
Please do, Deb.
One of the things we might do, free college hasn't done that well in New York. The National Student Clearinghouse did the 10 states in the last year that had the largest declines in enrollment. New York, even though it has the largest population, was at the top of the list. And one of the things that they're finding is that this benefits middle-income families, which is probably good because those middle-income kids are coming out with less debt. But when we go back and look at what's happening in our schools in Pennsylvania, it's really hard to figure out what's going on. I'm looking at the community colleges in Pennsylvania. They're the lowest cost option. They have articulation agreements with the state-related and the state universities. Yet overall, their enrollment's down 15% over the last 5 years. Westmoreland County Community College has some wonderful vocational programs, like the types of things Bob's talking about. Their enrollment's down 22% over the last 5 years. It seems like people maybe aren't, the choices they're making are almost counterintuitive, and I'd love to know what's going on, but there's also the issue that the public universities don't have the wiggle room that the privates do. A private university where the sticker price is $50,000 a year may offer the student all kinds of aid, getting it down to the cost of the state university, at least for the first year, maybe, and maybe all through, because they can charge the full freight to students who can pay it, and then they subsidize others. Our state-related universities, Pitt and Penn State, are doing that to a certain extent with the number of out-of-state students they're charging full freight for at their main campuses. It's really complicated.
Right. Deb, we only have 2 minutes left, and so you mentioned New York, and New York has historically been cheaper than Pennsylvania as far as public higher ed. Governor Cuomo called his strategy part of the long-term statewide development plan. In our last 2 minutes, do our leaders look at higher ed in the same way as a strategic investment in the future? We'll start with you, Bob, briefly, please.
I think that in the 60s, the normal high schools that were turned into teacher training institutions morphed into the 14 universities in the state system, and we had a shortage of teachers. But that mission has been more than over accomplished. We turn out 15, 20,000 certificates a year for 5,000 or 6,000 vacancies. And so there's a mismatch. And so the legislature has just simply said, we're not going to put any more money on the table. And they've had problems of finding new leaders of the whole state system because, as Deb said, there's no wiggle room.
Okay. And Ken, about 20 seconds. Do our leaders look at higher ed as an investment in the future?
Well, just to kind of at one point, you know, the number of teaching degrees has gone down, and now we're actually looking at a possibility of a teacher shortage in Pennsylvania. But I don't think that our leaders give enough attention to the affordability and what that's doing for first-generation college students and also the debt that's being created for young people.
And Deb Erdley.
I'm kind of with Ken on that. This is an important investment in the future of the state's economy, and it should be viewed as that. And I don't know if it is. It's viewed as one of the first places that we can cut because they can make it up elsewhere.
Okay. And 15 seconds for Bob Strauss. That investment, what do you think about it?
Well, I'm in favor of investing in the future, and Andrew Carnegie established us for that purpose. But you've got to be careful because money is extremely scarce, and I'm just not optimistic the legislature is going to pony up.
Bob Strauss is an economics professor and also professor of public policy at Carnegie Mellon University. Deb Erdley is a reporter at the Greensburg Tribune Review. And Ken Mash is the president of the Association of Pennsylvania State College and University Faculties. Thanks to all of you.
Thank you, Kevin.
My pleasure.
And one final note, there was no printed Post-Gazette today. Outside of strikes, it's the first Tuesday in 232 years that Pittsburghers have not had a daily newspaper. And for today, that is The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. Tomorrow on our program, Pittsburgh Catholic Bishop David Zubik on the reverberations being felt across the diocese from the clergy sex abuse scandal. Today's program was engineered and produced by Kylie Kaczynski, production assistance from Mick Stanelli. The producer of The Confluence is Megan Harris. I'm Kevin Gavin. Until next time, hope you have a good day of good news.